You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Roughly 50 Destiny Church-linked protesters showed up at the Te Aroha Community Centre and Library over the weekend to protest a science lesson discussing the science of rainbows being taught to children by a drag king as a part of Auckland Pride. Protesters attempted to storm the library, trying to push through volunteers and librarians, which resulted in 30 children and adults being forced to lock themselves in a room for protection. I spoke to the chief executive of Outline Aotearoa, a rainbow support service, Emmeline Pickering-Martin, about these protests and what the organisation hopes will come next to support the LGBTQI+ community as we start to wrap up Auckland Pride festivities. I start off by asking about how the organisation reacted to the event.
We were extremely shocked. The Te Aroha Peninsula Library is my local library just around the corner from our house. So it was a huge shock for us, and we obviously quite angry, but we're here to support the community through their feelings and what has occurred.
Has your organisation been contacted by any of those children and adults alike who were at the event?
Yes, we've had a couple of touch points of contact from people who were at the event, and the main reasons for those were just for some personal support and some direction about where to go next.
Regarding Tamaki's claims of need to protect children, a 16-year-old who was attending a sports event at the same venue as the library, who was helping defend against the ralliers, was left with a concussion following being assaulted by a protester, with her 20-year-old sibling being left with bruises on her ribs and arms, while 30 young children and adults had to be barricaded in a room for their protection. Is this really about protecting children, or do you believe there is an ulterior motive?
I think that it is ill-informed, really uneducated points of view that are being spouted from the likes of Brian Tamaki and his church family. In their eyes, it's about protecting children, but if we're seeing young people being hurt, having to feel scared or frightened about what's going on around them, it definitely isn't about the children at that point. There's no reason that we should ever use violence. All protests should be peaceful and calm in this country, and we should never resort to hurting other people to get our message across.
What repercussions could we see as a result of this heading into the rest of Auckland Pride?
We've seen an increase in security measures for all of our Pride events across Tamaki this month, and we've seen Auckland Pride put together an amazing security and comms plan around what to do with these sorts of issues if they arise in the future. And I know that the community is feeling a little bit sensitive and a little bit soft to the way people are approaching us in general, and I would just encourage everyone to stay in community, stay with people you love, be around people that care about you, and stay safe. Have plans for when you're going to events, just in case. Make sure you've got each other's numbers and you know where everyone's going to be, and you have contact points for the people you love, because we can keep ourselves safe the best we can, but we also need, you know, the police on board, we need Auckland Council on board, all those sorts of things, which I know Auckland Pride are working really hard to do.
Despite this event, we have seen an outpouring of support from political figures across the political spectrum, as well as Auckland Mayor Wayne Brown, who have all condemned the Destiny Church-linked group's actions. What has the support meant for Outline and the rest of the LGBTQI+ community?
It's really wonderful to see people stand up for our community when we go through troubling times. I think it's meant a lot for people who are within the community to see people they know supporting them and loving them. And I think it's really important that as a society we say that we put a toe in the ground and say that violence is never an answer, and that we're all allowed to have diverse opinions and diverse views, but we're not allowed to push those onto people in a way that makes children afraid and parents afraid to be out in the community we all share. And I think it's really important that, yeah, our people stand strong, and that those, our allies and accomplices, are very clear with the people in their lives that they support our rainbow community.
What actions are you hoping the government takes next regarding what transpired during this event?
I hope the government gives more funding to our rainbow community, to be honest, but so that we can deal with these issues ourselves, because we have the answers. We know how to make this community safer. We know how to make our wider social community safer. We need more resourcing, and I hope the government actually also take a really good look at Brian Tamaki and his actions in inciting this sort of behaviour, and find a way to hate speech, hateful violence, and really gross things happening to our people.
A noticeable group at the protest was that of the men's support group Man Up, which has links to Destiny Church. The group was seen displaying merchandise of their group in videos that were streamed online. However, concerns have been raised about the group due to their non-peaceful protest actions at the library. I spoke to Rangatahi development advocate Aaron Hendry about the protests and the Man Up organisation and his concerns with this group in light of their actions protesting the Pride event. I started off by asking him about Man Up.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the way we understand Man Up is it is it purports to be a program that is about supporting young men to, I guess, overcome addiction, learn healthy masculinity, overcome challenges with their anger, and a whole range of other, you know, other things to support young men to thrive. That's the way it's sold.
And how prominent would you say this program is in the community?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is. It's been pretty well known for a long period of time. There's probably a period of time where it was referred to quite often as a program that, though the founder or the leader, Brian Tumke, may be a bit problematic, there was kind of a view that, you know, it was a good program and it was doing some good work. I think over, you know, more recent times, some of that view has begun to change. Yet, you know, also really aware that, you know, some still see it as an alternative for young people and something that can be really beneficial.
Are you aware of whether Man Up receives public funding?
I'm not aware of that personally. I think there was a time when there was. I wouldn't be able to comment on whether that's still the case.
For the health professionals that refer vulnerable young people to this program, are they aware of the links this program has to Destiny's Church?
I think it's pretty well known that Man Up is connected to Destiny Church. And I think the same for all of us to be, I guess, aware of in our communities. When we're talking about young men specifically who have, you know, increased vulnerabilities, often isolated, disconnected from our community, and they're looking for something to believe in. They're looking for a community that can wrap around them and support them. And, you know, within, you know, the Man Up program, there appears to be at least that support, right? You know, community that can support you. But you've also got to look at what are the role models in that community. And if we look at the current, you know, leader of Destiny Church and the founder and the sort of stuff that he talks about constantly, if you look on his social media page, listen to him in his sermons, there's a lot of transphobic, Islamophobic, you know, homophobic rhetoric. There's a glorification of a sort of masculinity that is about, I guess, physicality and violence. And what we saw on the weekend was a really unhealthy form of masculinity. And so, you know, as a youth worker, when we're thinking about the ethics of connecting our young people into communities or programs that are teaching a form of masculinity that is centered on, I guess, or appears to be centered on, you know, men being the dominant power in a family, and also having no kind of room for the other, no room for our queer whānau, our rainbow whānau, our trans takatāpui whānau. I think there's some questions there around whether that is a safe environment for us to be putting our young men into.
Are you concerned that this group may incite similar protests as we head towards the end of Auckland Pride?
I'm really concerned about the escalating tension and the escalating violence that we've seen from the group. And I want to take a moment just to acknowledge that the face of this, you know, so as a youth worker, you know, when I'm looking at this, it's just what's happened over the weekend, the face of this was young people, right? Those young people were in that program to get help, to get support, to be able to get a community that could support them through things. And now some of them may be, you know, facing charges or facing other, you know, complex, you know, challenges because of this reality that's kind of happened over the weekend. So I'm really concerned about the young people being referred into these programs. I'm really concerned about the legitimacy that Man Up still has within some of our communities, that it is seen as, you know, a safe place for young people to go and to get support. There's also a connection between, you know, youth homelessness and communities that do not affirm or support, you know, queer and rainbow people. And so we're kind of encouraging a community where there's potential for huge harm for young people. And that's something that I think should be, you know, something we should be paying attention to.
And what programs would you suggest instead that young people reach out to if they're needing assistance?
Yeah, I mean, there's a range of community programs within, you know, local communities. I guess it's about knowing what your community does and where they are. Man Alive is a really good program from what I understand out west. And there's other sort of local community groups. There definitely is, I think, another challenge here where there is need for more investment in supporting and empowering communities to thrive, and for, you know, young people to be connected into spaces where they can find meaning and belonging. And I think in some ways this is a symptom of a breakdown in our communities. You know, there is a need for more spaces for young men to be supported, to be cared for, where they can learn about what it means to be a man and what it means to be a man in a healthy way. Where they can be learning to use who they are in a way that is healthy and supporting others to thrive as well. And I think that's there is a gap there, I think, in our communities. And that's where we see, you know, young men like we saw on the weekend radicalised into positions where their definition of what it means to be a man is to other someone else or to use, you know, physical force and, you know, violence to exclude others and to demean others. And that's really disappointing.
That was the chief executive of Outline Aotearoa, a rainbow support service, Emmeline Pickering-Martin, about the recent Te Atatū library protested by groups linked to Destiny Church and the group's thoughts on this, and rangatahi development advocate Aaron Hendry about the Man Up organisation visibly present at these protests.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.